mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the Fed's latest report on household debt and credit shows a slight improvement in American families' financial situation. But do the numbers mask a greater concern waiting around the next corner? Also this morning, bars and restaurants were among the businesses most affected by the pandemic. And while customers are coming back, the industry as a whole has dramatically changed in the years since. And happening around town, Gillig Winery is already getting an early start on a summer season full of special events, live music, and more. We'll get a preview. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. I don't mean to be a downer to start things off here this morning, but there are reports that Jimmy Carter may be nearing the end of his journey. Apparently, his grandson says made the comment to the press, and I'm not sure whether it was a press statement or whether it was a comment to a reporter who had asked or exactly what the context was, but Jimmy Carter's grandson says his journey is coming to an end. So it sounds as though we may be mourning the passing of a former president here in the not-too-distant future. And I've said this before with respect to Jimmy Carter. I think no matter what your politics are, and I think it's a general consensus, even liberals would say, that Jimmy Carter will go down in history, or has gone down in history, is not one of our strongest presidents, to say the least. One of the weakest presidents we've had politically. But that being said, setting aside all politics, you would be hard-pressed to find a more fundamentally decent human being who has ever occupied the office than Jimmy Carter. I mean, he's just a good, good person. And has shown that time and time and time again. Actually, his legacy post-presidency is much greater than his legacy as president. But in the aftermath of Watergate, that's what people were looking for when they went to the polls in 1976. Somebody who was just a fundamentally decent human being. And certainly, they got then the Iranian hostage crisis that consumed the final year or so of the Carter presidency, obviously tarnished his legacy to a great deal, but just not a very politically skilled individual, but a very decent human being. So certainly thoughts and prayers to the Carter family at this time, as it appears his journey is coming to an end. Here is big news this morning. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This is important science here. Researchers at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center have made a discovery that may make cold sores a thing of the past. Have you ever had a cold sore? Oh my goodness, those things, they're painful, and they're just there is a new gene therapy treatment that cured 97% of the infections that cause cold sores in mice. It is a form of the herpes infection. Actually, the treatment works by destroying the DNA code of herpes itself. And Dr. Keith Jerome, the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, says our aim is to cure people of this infection so they don't have to live with the worry of outbreaks or of transmitting it to another person. About two-thirds of individuals under the age of 50 have HSV-1, which is the virus that causes cold sores. So they are maybe a cure for cold sore. Now that is important science right there. That is important science. Important medical research we can all get behind. Speaking of important science and the fact that this is Police Week, this kind of taps into both of those. This story that I saw in the Newswire. You know, if we are going to colonize outer space, going to go back to the moon, maybe set up a colony, maybe go to Mars someday and colonize other planets in the universe, then we got to think about these things. A team of forensic scientists is preparing for the day when we will have to investigate a murder in outer space. I chuckle about this, but, you know, human beings, you know, human nature being what it is, this is something that will inevitably at some point be a thing. So this team of scientists, forensic scientists, conducted an experiment to see how blood splatters in zero gravity. I know, it's kind of gruesome, but the scientists were aboard a modified Boeing 727 designed to simulate zero gravity in order to conduct the research. They used a hydraulic syringe to shoot fake blood droplets at pieces of paper and other objects floating inside the aircraft to study the way blood splatters in zero gravity. It's, you got to think about these things. I mean, if you've ever watched any sci-fi film ever, you know that this is something we have to take seriously. So thank goodness somebody is working on this. And by the way, speaking of Police Week, you know, today being Peace Officer Memorial Day, and we think of the somber nature of those who every day put on the uniform and put their lives on the line to protect our communities. It is a job that is not without its perks. The Miami Beach Police Department is looking for a few good men to drive their first luxury cruiser, their first luxury patrol car. The Miami Beach Police Department has rolled out the newest car in its fleet, which happens to be a Rolls-Royce. Wow! Now, that's fit. In Miami Beach, I would have thought maybe Beverly Hills. But no, in Miami Beach, they say it is an effort to encourage people to join the police force. Recruiting police officers in this country today is a difficult thing to do, says Miami Beach Police Chief Wayne Jones. Using this car to help us do recruitment is going to be great. Not to mention the fact that it's a pretty cool ride. It's a Rolls-Royce police cruiser. So anyway, I'm thinking that if you're cruising around in a Rolls-Royce patrol car, there will be those who will break the law just so they can get a ride to jail in the back of a Rolls-Royce. You know, that may actually backfire. I'm not sure. But how they acquired the Rolls-Royce, I don't know. I mean, these things are pretty pricey, and I would imagine that if they bought one new off the line, then there would be an uproar in Miami Beach over how much the police department was spending on a single cruiser. So they had to have gotten it, you know, secondhand. Maybe it was seized from, you know, from a criminal or something in an asset forfeiture or something along those lines. I have no idea how they came to own a Rolls Royce, the Miami Beach Police Department, but it's a pretty cool cruiser. And finally, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, I can see this actually being a problem. Welch's. Saw this story on the Business Wire. Welch's, the juice company. They make grape juice and apple juice and all this. Right, there's Welch's juices. Well, they have announced they are now getting into the canned cocktail game in collaboration with a cocktail manufacturer, a cocktail company, Co-op Beverage Works. Welch's craft cocktail line will include four flavors: vodka transfusion, watermelon mule, vodka cranberry, and passion fruit mojito. And yes, these are adult beverages. They're not made to just taste like the real thing, but without the alcohol. These will have the alcohol. Each of the adult beverages contains both real fruit juice and spirits with a 5.9% kick of alcohol. A recent industry study showed demand for canned cocktails is up 20% over the past year. In a press release, the vice president of business operations for Co-op Beverage Works, which is teaming with Welch's for this, says these products were developed to elevate the experience of ready-to-drink cocktails by using real fruit juices and ingredients that today's consumers are looking for. I mean, that's fine. I mean, if this is, you know, if you're into the canned cocktail thing, and that's great for adults. But I think it's going to be very important how these things are packaged. And I haven't seen these. Maybe they have pictures of the packaging. But can you imagine putting one in your kid's lunchbox by mistake? I mean, that would... That would cause all kinds of problems. You're going to have to clearly label these things, or else we could be in big, big trouble. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly cloudy today, a chance of showers, a high around 70. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s. The Hancock County Law Enforcement Memorial Service was held at the Fallen Officers Memorial at the Fort Finley FOP Lodge 20 in Finley. The speaker at the service was Mrs. Vaughn Akers, the wife of Finley officer Doug Akers, who died by suicide in 2018, and she's dedicated to reducing the mental health stigma among first responders. Vaughn on what she wants all first responders to know.
That it's okay to talk about it. Like, the conversation has to happen. It shouldn't be hidden. It shouldn't be tucked away. It, you know, their struggles are real, and we have to acknowledge them, and we have to tell them it's okay. You are going to struggle. You are going to need help eventually, and it's okay to ask for it.
Get more of our conversation with Vaughn and see video from the memorial service in the story on our website. Wildfires in Canada are likely to bring unhealthy air conditions back to the Buckeye State this summer.
Last year's wind fires in Canada created unhealthy air quality conditions throughout Ohio in the months of June and July, with hazy conditions that forced school sports teams to move practices indoors. Experts suggest that a warmer and drier than usual summer forecast for this summer will create patterns similar to last year.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. A mechanical malfunction has forced Cedar Point to shut down a new ride.
Cedar Point's Top Thrill 2 roller coaster will be closed for an extended amount of time as it undergoes a mechanical modification. Once that change is complete, the park says there will be inspections and reviews before reopening the ride.
ONN's Lena Lai reporting. The city of Finley will be holding a play ball event at Miracle Park. The family-friendly event is open to all ages and will be held on Thursday, June 13th at Miracle Park behind the Cube. The Finley Fire Department and Police Departments will be there with trucks to check out, and the Keep Active, Keep Healthy bus will have activities available and much more. Get more details on the event in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, some interesting new data in a report from the payment processing and business management software company Square examining the state of the restaurant industry these days. Ming Tai He is a restaurateur himself and head of the food and beverage segment for Square. How has the restaurant, I mean, this is a sector of the economy that obviously was greatly impacted by the pandemic over the past several years. How has the industry changed post-pandemic since, you know, the days before all of that upheaval?
Yeah, great question. And look, we've seen a lot of big shifts in the restaurant industry since COVID. Love to share some data about some specific areas with you today. You know, two that are really top of mind, labor costs and consumer preferences. Starting with labor costs, they've changed dramatically. Since 2017, the average hourly worker in the restaurant industry has grown their wages 66% compared to just 40% for the retail workers. In our just recently announced quarterly restaurant report, we found that when you look at payroll as a share of restaurant revenue, the payroll costs have grown faster for certain types of food businesses. Take, for instance, 2019 payroll has increased since for full-service restaurants and bars. That means increased since 2019, whereas payroll costs have decreased for cafes and quick-service restaurants. Interesting shift there. And we think this is because quick-service restaurants and cafes have been able to automate certain parts of their businesses, which we know helps lower operating costs. On the consumer preferences side, it's the same story, but it's even heightened. Consumers have always looked for great food and service, but now the bar is just super high. They expect convenience, speed, and smooth experience, whether it's booking that reservation, ordering online or on the phone, speed, and then ultimately paying and getting that delivery. If this experience isn't up to par, then restaurants risk losing customers.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was kind of interesting, the changes to the habits of restaurant diners in terms of when and where they are likely to be the biggest spenders.
Yeah, that's a great one. We've seen an interesting shift since pre-COVID around dining trends. And then two are really, again, worth mentioning. First is in-person dining is back. We're seeing that consumers are getting together more and in person. And we're seeing that because of the full service and bars and restaurants are doing better than before. And then areas that geographics areas that were supporting businesses through patios or parklets really kind of kept that as much as they could going. And but we're seeing it thrive now. And the second is like consumers spending more at restaurants on weekends. The weekends were kind of dead over the last 4 years. But if you look back to 2019, we're actually seeing today that weekend traffic is actually at its peak. And specifically in Ohio, weekend restaurant spend is up 9% since 2019. That's pretty huge. The converse is that weekday business lunch down 7%.
I would imagine, as it relates to what you were talking about before in terms of payroll, that also presents a bit of a challenge because my guess is, not being as familiar with the restaurant industry as you are certainly, so I'll throw it out to you, is it more difficult to staff a restaurant on the weekends than it is, you know, during the week? I mean, these are, you know, hours that most people like to have off on the weekends.
Yeah, I think that is definitely an outsider's perspective. But the reality is where the money goes, people go. If businesses are doing well and succeeding on the weekend, then the staff being able to find them won't be that difficult.
But which is certainly a good point. Yeah. At the same time, again, you talk about the increases in the minimum wage, the fact that wages are up across the board within the restaurant industry, the full service restaurant industry in particular, and also having to adapt to the changing preferences and changing expectations of customers. You know, what kind of pressures does that put on restaurants, restaurant owners and proprietors, you know, with respect to profitability and long-term sustainability?
Yeah, that's a really tough question that you're asking. And you're right. Operators spend more money on their P&L on labor mm-hmm. costs. And so far this year, 22 states have raised the minimum wage. And more states and local governments are working on similar bills to phase out tip credit, which usually supplements and adds onto that wage for the restaurant worker. We saw this in California most pronounced when the state raised that minimum wage there mm-hmm. for 500,000 fast food workers to $20 per hour. In contrast, the median average restaurant worker in Ohio makes $11 per hour before tips and overtime. And about $13.53, including tips and overtime. That's median. So with those rising costs, operators are going to have to look to ways to offset it. It will come through either raising prices, which we know operators anecdotally do not like doing. They do not like raising prices. They know their guests will shy away from higher prices. Mm-hmm. Or they'll implement technology, such as kiosks, online ordering, and kitchen display systems to keep their kitchen and their labor as efficient as possible.
It is interesting, again, when you talk about the cost of labor and the debate over, you know, living wages and so on, and to what extent should restaurant staff have to rely on tips to supplement their income. There has been some talk of just doing away with the tipping culture. Let's just get rid of this. Yes, it will mean more expensive menu prices, but when you are not tipping, customers may be more willing to swallow those price increases. Is there any thought in the restaurant industry in the idea of moving away from the tipping culture? Or is it too ingrained in this country in the way that we've always historically done this?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And with the country being so large, there's behaviors that are different in different places.
Fair enough.
We've seen operators try to implement like a no tipping system. Most notably, one of the most celebrated restaurateurs, Danny Meyer, being unsuccessful in doing so. So a lot of the culture of this country, yes, is about tips. You know, what I can say as a restaurant operator is it's difficult to be the only restaurant on the street that's doing something different.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of how fast can it all move together or completely sort of just stay. So there's a little bit of inertia that's required in order to make that actually a possibility.
Yeah. As we look to the summer season, what trends do you expect? What should restaurants expect for the upcoming summer season?
Well, there's good news there. Restaurants should expect a busy summer season. Every year, Square data shows that spending at restaurants starts to pick up and increase towards the end of March, really for the kickoff of patio season. And then they extend through the summer until the beginning of September. Now, despite perceptions on tightening wallets, we see in the Square data that total spending at restaurants has increased.
Really interesting stuff. This data from the latest report on the state of the restaurant industry these days from the payment processing and business management software company Square. Again, Ming-Tai He is head of food and beverage for Square. Where do we get more information on this report? Really some interesting data here.
Yeah, for more information on Square and to get the more results from the report, go to squareup.com. In that report, we also talk about happy hour trends. And I want to say to the audience of Ohio, you must be doing something different because your happy hour numbers that spend between 4 and 6 p.m. on the weekday are higher than most of the country.
So apparently a lot to be happy there for restaurant operators in the Buckeye State. Ming-Tai He, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, the New York Fed's quarterly report on household debt and credit out this week shows credit card balances fell slightly in the first quarter of 2024, but don't go jumping for joy just yet. Bankrate senior industry analyst Ted Rossman is with us once again. First of all, Ted, it's not a huge dip, just 1%, which is good, but balances overall are much higher compared to where we were last year at this time.
That's right. Up 13% year over year, up 45% from this time 3 years ago. The general trend for credit card debt has been up, up, and up lately, unfortunately. We're talking about high inflation being a big part of the story, high interest rates as well. The current average credit card rate is 20.66%. It was a record 20.75% just a few weeks ago. I think the theme is the same, though. Even if balances and rates are slightly off their record highs, that's barely noticeable. I mean, I would sum it up by saying that for all intents and purposes, credit card debt has really never been more expensive than it is right now. And that's just why it needs to be such a priority for your household's financial checklist.
And you also make a good point that it is not uncommon to see a decline in credit card balances from the fourth quarter into the first quarter of the new year. But historically, that is a trend that reverses itself the later you go into the year.
This is a really interesting historical phenomenon. The New York Fed has been tracking this particular data set since 2003. And without fail, credit card balances have fallen in the first quarter. The one exception was last year when they were exactly flat from Q4 of 2022 to the first quarter of 2023. But every other time they've declined in the first quarter, they've never gone up in the first quarter. That's because people use tax refund money to pay off credit card debt, and they have this kind of post-holiday spending detox.
Yeah.
People make New Year's resolutions to pay off debt. As you noted, though, credit card balances do usually rise in the second and third quarters, and then they really tend to spike in the fourth quarter around the holidays.
Yeah. So, I point that out because you don't want to give people like this false sense of, hey, I'm doing great, and, you know, I've done everything that I need to do. You know, even if you are still among those who have paid some of this stuff down, you need to stick with it. And historically, the numbers say that too many of us don't do that.
And really what's most important is at the household level. That's where we see that huge fork in the road. 56% of credit card holders typically pay in full every month. And for them, life is great. They get rewards, they get convenience, fire protections. This New York Fed report, by the way, doesn't make this distinction. So when they talk about $1.1 trillion in credit card balances, that's just what was showing up at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And then, like I was saying, we found that 56% of these people pay in full. The other 44%, though, carry debt from month to month. And right. that's what can become a very systematic debt cycle, where 6 in 10 people with credit card debt have had it at least a year. And it's easy to see how this happens. I mean, it's usually a practical beginning. It's day-to-day expenses, or it's an emergency medical bill or something. And then it just kind of feeds off itself, that it becomes harder and harder to pay off as you have more debt and you have a higher interest rate. My best advice is to get a 0% balance transfer card. Cards like the Wells Fargo Reflect and the Citi Simplicity, they'll offer you 0% interest for 21 months. If you take your debt from one or more other cards and then you move it over to them, use that 21-month runway to your advantage.
You know, the folks might have seen this too. There's a TransUnion report this week that says young adults in their early to mid-20s are carrying 26% more credit card debt than a generation ago, and credit card use in that age group is up over 20% from the previous decade. So speak especially to young people about making sure that they don't get into this negative cycle that is impossible to get out of.
I saw that TransUnion report, and in fact, the New York Fed had a similar finding in their quarterly report on household debt and credit, which is that Gen Zers are a trouble spot. I mean, they are unfortunately falling behind at higher rates than other generations, and even though they don't have as much credit card debt in total as, let's say, Gen Xers, who are probably the biggest trouble spot, that sandwich generation. But, you know, at least relative to their income and relative to their credit limits, you might say that Gen Zers have it worst of all, unfortunately. And I do empathize with that. I mean, as an older millennial myself, I would say that it's only gotten harder in terms of high college costs and high apartment lease costs, and it's really hard to enter the housing market, and childcare costs are up. And
right.
there's a lot of financial pressures on these young adults. I would say, though, that there are things you can do. Like I mentioned, the 0% balance transfer idea. You could also work with a reputable nonprofit credit counseling agency. There are some great groups like Money Management International and GreenPath that can negotiate a 7 or 8% rate over 4 or 5 years and walk you through that payoff process. Or another thought would be, if you can take on a side hustle or sell stuff you don't need or cut your expenses, it doesn't have to be forever. But if you do that for 3 months or 6 months, you know, putting that extra money towards your credit card debt could really help.
Yeah. You referenced credit card reward programs just a moment ago. I also thought it was interesting. There is a piece on Bankrate.com that I saw about the number of people who are carrying credit card debt and yet still chasing after those credit card rewards. Not that maximizing rewards programs is wrong or a bad thing necessarily, but it does seem like there is a significant segment of the population that maybe needs to adjust their priorities a little bit.
I was alarmed by that finding as well. The fact that 2/3 of people with credit card debt are chasing rewards. That's a mistake. The average credit card charges over 20%.
Yeah.
And a typical rewards payout is anywhere between about 1% and about 5%. It depends on the card and it depends on the categories. But the point is, you're upside down if you're paying a high interest rate and getting a small fraction of that back in rewards. I love rewards, but only if you're able to pay your credit cards in full and avoid interest. So again, no shame. I mean, if you have credit card debt, you have plenty of company, and it's often a very practical cause, but focus on paying that down. Those 0% balance transfer cards I mentioned, they don't typically offer rewards, but that's okay. If you're in that position, your reward is getting out of debt
exactly.
as quickly as possible, at the lowest cost possible. Worry about rewards later on.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were thinking that by now we would be seeing interest rate cuts by the Fed and, you know, the cost of servicing some of this debt was hopefully be less expensive. But obviously you always want to remember that credit card interest rates are always going to be high. So, you know, a cut in interest rates, if and when we do get it, is not necessarily going to be enough to save you here if you're digging a hole.
It's not going to provide significant relief anytime soon because credit card rates tend to mirror what the Fed's doing. So the average right now is 20.66%. I mean, when the Fed starts cutting, and you're right, that timetable keeps getting pushed back, but even when they start cutting, it could well be a quarter point here, and then you know, maybe weeks or months later, another quarter point. It's not going to make much of a difference. The average credit card rate has jumped from about 16% 2 years ago to over 20% now. I mean, even 16% was a high rate, but it's going to take a while to unwind all these increases. That's where the best advice is: bring your personal rate down to zero, either with a balance transfer card or by paying in full if you can. It's just so important. It's hard to build wealth when you're paying a credit card issuer 20, 25, 30% interest.
Yeah. Just to bring all of this up, not necessarily to be a Debbie Downer on all of this, but again, to kind of put this in perspective, yes, credit card balances fell in the first quarter of the year. That is good news, but it doesn't necessarily mean that for a lot of people, we are out of the woods yet, and we still have to prioritize this. Again, Bankrate senior industry analyst Ted Rossman with us once again. Ted, thanks very much for taking the time. Always appreciate the perspective, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So we finally have a resolution to the eternal question, what defines a sandwich? Superior Court judge in Indiana has ruled that tacos and burritos qualify as Mexican-style sandwiches. So there, tacos and burritos are simply Mexican-style sandwiches. Conflict arose when a Mexican restaurant attempted to open in a strip mall and faced opposition. The strip mall only allowed for made-to-order or Subway-style sandwiches. And this is a Mexican restaurant. And so those who were opposed sued to stop the Mexican restaurant from opening in the strip mall. The judge determined that burritos and tacos were Mexican-style sandwiches and could be sold in the strip mall by the by the regulations. The court agrees with Quintana, which is the name of the restaurant. The court agrees with Quintana that tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches, and the original written commitment does not restrict potential restaurants to only American cuisine-style sandwiches, according to Judge Bobé. So, we finally have a resolution, a legal resolution, defining a sandwich. Never really thought of tacos and burritos as Mexican-style sandwiches, but apparently so. The judge has spoken. Elsewhere in the broken news, the odd and unusual side of the headlines. Now, this is kind of dumb when you really think about it. A man from Georgia has pleaded guilty to calling in threats to two Walmart stores in Virginia. DeAndre Murphy pleaded guilty to calling two separate Walmart stores in Virginia Beach and demanding money. Virginia police were able to track the calls back to Mr. Murphy in Atlanta. They arrested him. He now faces a minimum of up to 20 years in prison for phoning in the threats. He is scheduled to be sentenced later this year. But this is really kind of dumb. Of all of the places to, I mean, Walmart, they prosecute people for stealing a pack of gum. They'll send you to prison. They'll send you to prison for years for, pilfering, stuff from their dollar shelf. I mean, I don't want to call and demand money. That's a surefire way to get yourself into trouble. And he knows that now, I guess. Our dumb criminal of the day comes from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where 21-year-old Krishir Stevens, I believe is how you pronounce his name, is facing a number of charges relating to a bizarre apartment break-in. We say bizarre, not so much for what he took, but for what he left behind. The suspect damaged a couple of windows in the break-in, as well as some ceiling tiles in a bedroom, but he also left the kitchen floor covered in Cajun seasoning. I don't know exactly how this happened. I'm not sure I want to know how this happened, but he left the kitchen floor covered in Cajun seasoning, and it was that was his ultimate undoing. When police arrived at Mr. Stevens' last known residence, they found a trail of footprints that matched the ones found in the seasoning on the apartment's kitchen floor. That's how they nabbed their suspect, the footprints in the Cajun seasoning. Mr. Stevens was slapped with a felony burglary charge, a misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct, and drug-related charges for the marijuana and a partially smoked blunt that was found in his home. Alrighty. Cajun seasoning all over the floor is undoing. In a close run for second in the dumb criminal department this morning is Stephen Bodley of Apopka, Florida, who was applying to become a police officer and in so doing confessed to previous crimes during the interview. He described his crimes as games on his sworn officer application with the Apopka Police Department. When questioned about the games in more detail, he described what police quickly figured out was a series of crimes. Detectives were able to locate the other individual that Mr. Bodley referenced in his admission, and confirmed that he wasn't just making it up, that these things actually did happen. Mr. Bodley is now scheduled to be sentenced for his games next month. And no, he did not get the job at the police department. Wow. And finally, in the broken news this morning, a little politics in the broken news. The state attorney general in Washington, this is Washington State, not Washington, D.C., the Washington State Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, says that two other candidates for governor with the same name are trying to confuse voters and could face prosecution. And he's the attorney general, so he can make this happen. Bob Ferguson, the attorney general, is running for governor. Now, two other men, both named Robert Ferguson, also filed for the governor's race. The former King County prosecutor, Dan Satterberg, says it is against the law for people with matching names to file to run. Apparently, I had no idea that this was a thing, and I don't know if it's just a crime in Washington State or other places as well. I guess on a certain sense, it makes sense. At a certain level, it makes sense. That if you're trying to confuse voters into voting for other people with the same name to water down the vote, that would be unfair. But at the same time, I mean, what if two different people that happen to have the same name are seeking the same job legitimately? Is it a race to, you know, first to file is the only one that gets to run? I don't know. Anyway, both of the other candidates opposing Bob Ferguson for the gubernatorial nomination have denounced the other two Fergusons who filed, and both of the new Fergusons withdrew their name before the Monday deadline, so it's unclear whether they will actually face charges, but they could actually be charged with a crime for having the same name and filing to run for the same office. That is a bit crazy. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When local news breaks, you can hear about it on social media at lightning speed. And while getting you the information fast is important, WFIN will always present the story only after verifying with actual sourced facts. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust the voice that's been covering the news in Findlay and Hancock County for more than 80 years. You can depend on us to get the story right every time. On social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
Now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. The very first emails were sent back in the early 70s. Email's been around for more than 50 years. Even modern day email, the systems that we're all familiar with, we've been doing this for more than 20 years. You would think by now we would have it down, right? We would be able to manage our emails and all that. Apparently, though, we still struggle with this. Maybe you have accidentally sent an early draft of an email where you've been venting against the boss or whatever, and then you put it out there and somebody reads it where they really weren't supposed to. Or maybe you misspelled your own name in your signature or something like that. At any rate, trying to unsend an email message is the top email-related concern for Americans, according to a new study. In fact, believe it or not, there are more than 250,000 monthly searches on Google related to unsending or recalling emails. This is according to data compiled by the email marketing agency Inbox Army. 251,488 monthly searches on how to recall or unsend an email, to be exact. It is amazing how many email mistakes we put out there and want to take back. They broke this down. If you consider that each of those emails were made by a single person in a month, that equates to 8,382 emails sent by mistake every day in the U.S. More than 8,000 emails sent by mistake. Breaking the data down further, the company figured out that Virginia is the most email-anxious state, with the highest number of email-related questions per capita. The second most asked queries after how to recall an email. The next thing that we most often want to know is related to the email signature that you put at the bottom of each message that you send. Every month, there are more than 85,000 searches related to how to set up a standardized email signature or how to make your signature look more professional. And on a related note, how to fix a mistake that you somehow haven't noticed in your email signature. More than 64,600 monthly searches are devoted to how to write an email on a particular subject, with nearly 500 searches a month asking for structuring tips and how to communicate effectively. And 88% of those 64,000 searches are related to how to write an out-of-office automatic reply, which I have to admit, I've never been able to figure out how to set up those automated replies and all of that, so I've just never bothered to do that. But you would think that after 20 plus years of doing this, we would have it all figured out, but apparently not. So the folks at Gillig Winery are getting an early start this week on a summer season that would be full of special events, live music, and lots more. Nikki Gillig is with us in the studio this morning. Nikki, thanks very much for dropping by.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
Saying before we went on the air, this is a busy time of the year.
It is. It is. People love our patio, and I'm so excited to get it open.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of interesting. We were talking a little bit earlier on the program about how bars and restaurants have really seen a shift post-pandemic. It's the business has changed. The industry has changed versus where you were before the pandemic. Have you seen that as well?
I think we've seen a lot of changes. We've kind of adjusted to accommodate those changes and accommodate our guests. We do a lot of fun events at the winery to bring people in. a lot of, you know, in our outdoor area. That was huge during COVID because we were the one of the only people that had a grassy outdoor area. And my husband and I were like, okay, there's something with this. We really need to make it a permanent, beautiful outdoor space that people can come and enjoy, and we can be more of a destination for people to come to.
That actually was kind of speaks to what I was kind of curious about. You know, what were kind of the biggest surprises? I mean, coming out of the pandemic and the way customer expectations change and customer habits change, and you know, and so on. We were talking that more people come out on the weekends now to restaurants than during the week. And you know, what was the biggest surprise to you in the shift post-pandemic?
I think the biggest surprise for us was how many people really wanted to be outdoors or with, I think they, once the pandemic was over, they wanted to be together with each other.
It was kind of a gathering.
Yes. And so having our events that we have, I think really bring people together, and they love that.
It really plays into very much what you do as kind of a social event. To that end, I know you've got a number of things that go on, is sort of an ongoing thing. You've got a Read Between the Wines book club.
We do,
that is actually today.
Those exactly
doing that, and the Wine, Dine, and Design event that again is a monthly thing, but that is happening tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah. So our Wine, Dine, and Design is any number of our craft events that include wine and food. And this one happens to be with Awakening Minds Art that we do on the third Thursday of every month. And we're happy to support them. We always partnered with them since we've been open now for 8 years. And it's just a great opportunity for people to come and hang out with their friends and paint, and professional instructions provided for you. Everything's included. All your art supplies, food, wine, everything. Just a great time to come out and have fun with your friends for a good cause.
Explore your creative side.
That's
but it's
right.
really not about the art.
So. No.
Again, just a reason to gather with friends and have a good time.
Absolutely. And that's, you know,
absolutely. Seems to be what people are looking for these days. We mentioned that you've got a big summer, being a big time of the year for you, already planning for a very big summer with lots of special events.
Absolutely. We have different events going on all the time, which they can find on our website, which is gilligwinery.com, and also our Facebook page. Some of the fun things that we're doing include a concert series that starts in June. So all of June and July, every Saturday in June and July, we will have live music all day long. So a lot of local artists coming, so you can come and support them and have lots of fun with wine and food.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that you have going on that we want to highlight as the summer approaches here?
Yeah, we also have lots of events going on in regards to, you mentioned our book club, and then the Wine, Dine, Design. We also support a lot of our nonprofit organizations, so any of you nonprofits out there. We do have a rental space in the back room and out front that usually is a fee, but for our nonprofits, they get that at no charge. So we really enjoy supporting them and doing that. A number of other events that we can have, not only our private events, but we do other craft events. We do, we have a lady who just started a flower business that we're going to have a flower making class.
Cool.
So anything, we love to support our locals and anybody locally who's trying to start a business or is in business, we'd love to support them.
And also finding reasons for people to gather. Again, we circle back to that. That's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. And that includes our yoga classes we're going to be having too with another local business. So just anything you can come and gather with your friends, have a good time, hang out and enjoy.
Now, we mentioned that there are a lot of things going on through the summer months, and you've got a calendar of events up on your website, too.
Absolutely.
Right?
The events are always up on our website. Our menus for all of our food, because a lot of people don't know we have food, but we do have some delicious flatbread sandwiches that we all get all of our ingredients locally as much as possible as well. So anything you want to find out is all on our website, gilligwinery.com, and then also on our Facebook page.
Any new wines?
We do. I'm
summer?
So glad that you mentioned that, Chris. We just released a...
I figure we probably should mention it, you know, because we're tight. It's a winery, after all.
Absolutely. And summer is the best time to release some wines because everyone's coming to the winery. So we enjoy that. We just released a new summer splash wine, which is a strawberry watermelon. And then we have three more surprises coming this summer. So three more wines.
Wow.
How we've been busy.
What is that process? I mean, obviously you've got to plan well in advance.
Absolutely, we do. And my husband is a mastermind behind that. I will say, I usually tell him what I want to make and then he schedules it all. But it's not as easy as people think. So we're a full-fledged winery. So all the wine that you consume at our place, we make right there on site. Mm-hmm. So our whites and our fruits can take anywhere from 45 to 60 days to process and then to up to when you can consume it. However, our red wines, those take 45 to 60 days in the tanks. Then we bottle them and then we age them for 9 more months.
Wow.
So those reds that you're drinking, they've been sitting around for a while.
You were probably thinking about summer back at Christmas time, but even before that.
Absolutely,
really.
Before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to plan way ahead.
But it's a labor of love, I'm sure.
It is. It's fun. We enjoy it. And I just enjoy our guests coming in and saying how much they enjoy everything and spending time with their friends. And, you know, this is my favorite place to come. And that just warms my heart. Love that.
We mentioned the wine, dine, and design. That is really the next big thing. And everybody is welcome. But you do need tickets in advance.
We do. You do need tickets in advance, which, again, you can find that on our website or there's a link on our Facebook page. The link is actually to eventbrite.com. But you do need a ticket to attend. And we only have a few spots left. So if you are interested, make sure you get that today.
All right. We've got a link up on our webpage for more information from the folks at Gillig Winery about all of the events that are coming up and even more on the schedule and everything else going on at the winery. And again, Nikki Gillig, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And with that, we finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Of course, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net, our little corner of the World Wide Web, where you can learn all about the show, connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Again, goodmornings.net. We are always on 24/7 on the World Wide Web. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.